Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Big Show. I'm Jeff Gammett. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And I just have to start off the show today by saying Happy Towel Day. It is May 25th as we record, which does make it Towel Day. So Happy Towel Day, everyone. And for those of you that know what I'm talking about, great. For those of you that don't, a quick Google search will show you that this is the day that every year we celebrate all the amazing works of Douglas Adams, hence Towel Day.
You know, I'm actually washing my towels in the washing machine behind me right now.
I did
so, in honor actually, of Towel
I did
Day.
The same thing this last night. So,
all right. So Towel Day, it's a multifunction event.
If yeah. I would have known, we would have all came to the show wearing only a towel.
Well, Ben, there's still time for you to run and grab your towel. Yeah, I'm visualizing it too. And did it just get hot in here? Ooh. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, speaking of hot, I get to hang out with all these hot, amazing people on the show, and I just love it. So let's see who all these hot people are. And Ben, since you started us off, how are you?
I am fantastic, Jeff.
Excellent. Excellent. And continuing with our hotness, Patrice, how are you?
I'm doing good, Jeff. I'm doing very well. It's been a cool week so far. Tomorrow seems to be a calm day because my boss is traveling. So that's probably why.
That makes
we'll
sense.
See about that. I mean, you know, there's like we have an IT department who might come up with new and novel ideas to make my life really hard and break something. So we'll see tomorrow how quiet it really is. But No, I'm good. And then we have a long weekend in front of us because another religious holiday on Monday. I think Whit Monday. Might be wrong about that.
Yeah, we have spring bank holiday over in the UK too. So yeah, Monday's a day off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so I found out a couple days ago it's a holiday in the US on Monday as well.
Wow. Okay. That's new.
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day.
Oh, it's
Memorial
Day.
See, I had to look
Day.
At the
okay.
calendar.
That may, yeah, I was checking as well, like because I have my calendar. Yeah.
Yeah. It says
nice.
Memorial
so
Day.
We are we're all taking calendar. A day off on Monday. That is nice.
I think I have fewer meetings on Monday is what it means. Because I am, after all, in the United States.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, and Tom takes every day off now, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is this concept you guys are talking about? Holidays? What are those exactly. days off?
Yeah, I know. So weird.
It's time.
That same concept like work as well. That's a new. That's one you're not familiar with anymore.
No, I don't remember anything about work, Ian.
Yeah, working. What a load of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Useless.
Well, continuing with our beauty, Tom, how are you?
You must be speaking about another Tom. I'm good. I spent the morning chasing ants around the kitchen. Somehow the ants got into the kitchen, and these ants were really weird. Normally with ants, they're just kind of dumb and walking around. With these ants, if I move something that uncovered them, they scattered like roaches. I've never seen that before. It's like, oh my God, the human is here. Get away, get away, get away. I've never seen it. You know, so ants have apparently gotten smarter around here. I had to chase them around. It was weird.
Line of salt. They won't cross it.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Which raises the question, are ants actually demons?
Yes. Well, maybe I'll use some garlic too, just in case they're vampires.
Right. If nothing else, they'll taste better.
That's right. And
a little salt,
I'll
little
put
garlic.
Them all around the house. It'll smell so good. Garlic
yep.
and salt. Okay.
Yep. It'll be great. Yep. And wrapping up our panel of beauty, Ian, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. I'm good. I've had a random day of death of a thousand cuts in the morning, and the afternoon's been better. But yes, my days of all small things like I opened a cupboard door, out falls a glass container with cinnamon in it. It smashes on the worktop. You know those kind of things. You know, it's nothing that's making your day bad. It's just little things. And then I'm trying to do a proctored exam today for a certification I'm trying to do. And what happens? The internet doesn't play ball. And the bit for the video connection, which, as you can see, works perfectly well on their bit of shite software, didn't work. So I couldn't take my proctored exam. I moaned and complained vigorously to people. I guess the easy way to deal with this is I'm going to go to a test center. It just means I have to go to another city, which is more of a pain than anything else. But
yeah, there's nothing worse than a proctology exam where you have to go somewhere else.
Yeah, proctology, we can do it. I'm not up with proctology at all. I'm not up with proctology. I'd much rather have I'm much more interested in the idea of having a proctored exam, which means someone watches me while I answer questions.
Yes.
Okay, so my big takeaway from this is Ian likes it when people watch. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Just saying. All right. Well, so here we have our panel. Everyone is too sexy for their shirts, and I guess we need some news. Who has the first story?
Yeah, I chucked one in a moment ago.
Oh, you did.
That was me going trigger happy, but there we are. I'll chuck it back in again now. This is a nice story. I saw this in various outlets, and I think this is the source where everybody else has been publishing the same bit of news from. But it's fantastic use of AI. Rather than us all going, AI is going to take over the world. We're all going to be replaced by machines. This is brilliant. This is a fantastic use of technology. A guy called Gert-Jan Ostrom, he's 40, and he was in an accident that paralyzed him from the neck down. He got a break in his spinal cord, so legs no worky anymore. So this is a bad thing. And there's been a series of some scientists working in Lausanne, in Switzerland, on ways of using AI to map up the brain patterns in your mind of what it is to walk. And then it transmits them to an exoskeleton that's on your legs. I mean, now he's still very primitive, as much as he carries a backpack around with him all full of gear to be able to make him do it. And he's got electrodes wired directly into the surface of his brain in the correct areas and connected up. But within minutes of being hooked up and he was thinking of walking, he could walk. Now, if that's not, again,
cool.
Yeah.
And my t-shirt cool. today is appropriate.
Science is magic. Yeah.
And was going to see Clark about the idea that magic being, that science and magic are becoming discernible at some point. There's another C. Clarke quote like that. I'll have to find the proper one. But
yeah, any technologies that sufficiently advanced appears as magic to us.
Thank you very much.
I was going to do the paraphrase as magic is just science we don't know about yet.
Yes. But this stuff is fantastic. It's taken him a couple of years to work through the idea. But that, so the thing reads pulses from his mind. The AI sorts through the bit where the AI comes in here is it sorts through all these signals, this massive transmitted signals that go well in his on the surface of the brain, picks the correct ones out, and is then able to translate those into walking motion.
Mm-hmm.
And from rehabilitation things they've discovered, it's also enabled him now to be able to get around on crutches when he's not hooked up to the apparatus.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly there's something there about his body relearning how to walk despite that break in his spinal cord. And that is just fantastic. I love it. So there we go. A good news story about AI rather than it's Terminator going to take over the world.
Yeah, I have to wonder if we're going to be at a point where we can use technology to essentially reconnect that spinal cord.
And there's all the nanomachines and stuff like that. I'm reading some nonsense sci-fi. Nanobots are mentioned in it as of healing the hero. So when he gets wounded, it puts him back together again. But exactly that idea, those things where we can have self-healing technology, something that will go in, repair the damage. You know, you've been in a car accident, your spinal cord's broken from the whack, and then they can go in and carefully knit these really, really small connections back together again and make you work again. I mean, that's just unreal. I mean, then we're starting to get to the point where we can start extending life as well. Because you can start to sort of potentially start to kind of look at ideas that will turn back some of ages sort of like damage to our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's fantastic. I love all this stuff. I think it's fantastic as a good sort of thing that's the future. Thing we've got to look forward to as we get older. There's going to be new stuff that's going to be interesting that's eventually going to filter down to us. Of course, it's going to take a while. He's the first person in all the world to have this particular setup, but it bodes very well for the future if they can get it into a form that can be used.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he can walk about for about 30 minutes a day. So we can stand up at a bar. He can go for a walk. He can stand up at a bar and drink a beer or a coffee. And, you know, we're just getting back to normal life.
And the worst part is he no longer has an excuse to not do house chores. He ended up having to go paint something because no one else was around to do it.
That's really cool.
Yes.
That's very cool.
They don't say in the article what data they use to train the AI.
No.
I wonder how they trained it. Like you said, there's so much information. You know, he's got this set of electrodes on his head.
Yeah, yeah. There's just two disc-shaped implants inserted into his skull. So that two 64 electrode grids rest against a membrane covering the brain. Hmm. Yeah. When asking things about walking, the skull implants detect electrical activity in the cortex and the outer layer of the brain. The signal is wirelessly transmitted, decoded by a computer that Oscar wears on a backpack, but then transmits the information to the spinal pulse generator. And that then makes him walk.
Hmm. Yeah. It's just interesting. There must be some neurological research data of some sort that they use to train that model, right?
Yeah, because you need that model needs some data, doesn't it, to be able to work out that which one. So there's all this thing, which is the one I need. Yes, completely.
Yeah, right. What's the brain doing, and which signal do I need to send to?
Mm.
So I wonder if you put some sort of test rig on somebody's brain that could detect pulses, and you had able people, you know, okay, now walk.
Yeah, yeah.
Think about walking.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now walk get a bunch there, of think that
about
data. Walking,
walk down there. Think about lifting your arm up and putting your arm down. Think about picking that jar up and putting it, and, you know, bringing a drink to your mouth. Think about doing these things. Right. And from there, it becomes, you know, for full body paralysis, it starts to become a thing that you could potentially be hooked from moving again. Fabulous.
That's very cool.
I mean, this is great for not only this, but potentially diseases like ALS.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we might be able to, like, replace parts of the nervous system even.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, we're far away from that, but we could.
Hello, RoboCop.
Yeah.
True.
Oh,
RoboCop crap. Or Borg?
Yeah, either way.
Resistance is futile.
Yeah. Speaking of resistance, futile, all of that, Patrice, tell us about Google realizing that they screwed up.
Well, yeah, kind of and kind of not. So Google announced, I think a couple weeks ago at this point, that they would be deleting accounts and their video. Well, they said deleting accounts. That had been inactive for many years. I think the assumption was including videos and everything. And there was a discussion going on. Let's put it nicely. There was a discussion going on.
That's a very mild term to use for what was going on.
Whether or not we should do that, and I think there were some legitimate cases for, like, why it might be a good idea to delete things, and also some very good reasons why it might not be. One real reason to keep them is, like, people who have died, for example. Like, someone was, like, a YouTuber, and there have been a couple even, like, pretty big YouTubers that have died. And I don't know, they die, and either they're I'm blanking on the word for it. Their family, basically, or their friends, like the people who stay behind. Blanking. Anyway, they might not have access, or they might simply want to, like, keep the stuff there. And there's, I think that's a real reason to say maybe this stuff should stay. But there's also like something that I put out on Mastodon. Me personally, I would like to get my stuff deleted because I have an account, an old account that I would like to delete. And I have found, and I've lost access to, and I have found zero way to delete that because, you know, Google doesn't have customer support. I have access to the email address that's connected to it, but it doesn't do two-factor because it doesn't recognize the machine that I'm on. And the phone that was connected with it is my US phone number that doesn't exist anymore. So there is simply no way that I found all the pleading and sending messages and whatever to delete that. So for me, that would have been a nice thing to say, hey, cool, like at least it's all gone. But yeah, as I said, despite the fact that I would have liked to have it, I think the saner people won. And Google has changed their mind and they will still delete some accounts, but they will not delete content. So, you know, like the inactive, never did anything account that someone created and forgot about it, that will be deleted.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah, but like, or like, I could even see like if there's a like a video that has one view or whatever, never gets any views, they might even delete that and say, okay, like, what's the point? I could see that's like, but like anything that has still value and or has enough views or whatever, I'm pretty sure they would keep.
Yeah, it seems like you could come up with an algorithm that would sort of pull the junk out, like you said, based on views or something.
Yeah.
Because I imagine there was somebody in charge of IT capital expense at Google saying, you know, I did some calculations. If we continue at this rate, we're going to need.
Yeah.
I mean, storage disk is drives
getting,
that.
Yeah. Storage is getting cheaper, but I mean, just like think about it. Like, I mean, you have to keep every, like, I don't know, every brain fart that, like someone, I don't know, when he was a kid had and put up there and is maybe embarrassed, like has lost access to it and is embarrassed to even have. If you keep all of that up there.
And that's a lot of data. This is video, is a lot of right? Data. It's not text, it's video.
It's video. And and storage right now is still the most expensive thing on the web.
Right.
So, I mean, even for Google, it's still expensive to keep all of this around, even if they only keep one copy because they're like, okay, nobody ever accesses it. So I have one copy, or maybe two. I have one active and one like cold storage somewhere.
Yeah.
Even and then, I mean, that's a lot of data. Like, given that we upload, I don't know how many years worth of content every minute. It's like,
And
it's insane.
Yeah. And it's not just a storage cost. Cooling all those servers ain't cheap.
No.
No,
and I mean you have to make it available. Still, it's in all the search indexes. It makes everything more complex and slower. Like because I mean, even if it's not high priority, like someone might search for it and find it and want to watch it, and then you have to stream it. And like as I said, like not everything is worth doing that. I think
maybe they'll bring back that old system of mag tapes, the 8-track mag tapes. And the way there was a company that had a big storage facility with a bunch of mag tape machines that had robots. And when you requested some data, if the tape wasn't loaded on a machine, it would find it. The robot would go find the tape and load the tape on there.
As so far you'd
wait
as,
like 15 minutes, you know.
As far as I know, I'm not sure it's magnetic tape, but as far as I know, things like Amazon Glacier or all the like the cold storage basically is similar to that. I don't know if it's hard drives or
takes
or
it
tapes, but it isn't like that's why it takes 4, 5, 6 hours to like when you request it to actually get to you.
So you could keep it on a disk drive, but you don't need the disk drive powered up all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. It might even be tape. Like I have honestly not looked into it. I could probably figure out. But I know, Amazon Glacier, like it usually takes a couple hours until you get your data because, I mean, one is low priority, but it's also two, as far as I know, it's not live.
I'm picturing instead of robots moving up and down tracks and pulling tapes or drives out of little slots and then putting them into the proper bays, it's Amazon workers running around in their little blue vests.
You mean workers are cheaper nowadays?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your job at Amazon? I run around in my Nike sneakers mounting disk drives.
I'm a data retrieval specialist. I'm Sneakernet.
Not disk drives, laser discs.
Real to real tapes, even. Here we go. We're going to go the full thing.
I remember a friend who had a Laserdisc player, and they had two movies, on Laserdisc. One was Blues Brothers, and the other was some rando like horror flick. And we would go over and watch both of these movies, like tons of friends. We'd all get together and go to this one guy's house and watch these two movies over and over on Laserdisc simply because they were on Laserdisc.
There's no better.
Yeah.
So you're only saying
I've seen a Laserdisc once in my life.
We had one in at my school.
Mm.
Yeah, they were cool. I mean, the only thing more fun than a DVD is a DVD the size of a vinyl record.
Right.
I think even a little bit bigger, right? I think it was a little bit bigger than a vinyl record.
Well, for all the times that I went over to my friend's house, did we not take an LP and a laser disc and stick them together to see if they were really the same size? Talk about a missed opportunity. Teenagers are dumb.
Or maybe you did and you just don't remember it.
That's very plausible.
Yeah. You can get the Star Wars trilogy on Laserdisc. I'm just looking.
Yes, and that will be
the actual
trilogy and not the George Lucas screwed up version.
So I had the same box in DVD form or video form, I think, from a long time ago.
Everyone remember
I recognize the box. The silver one. It was the special edition with the... Oh, no, these aren't special edition ones. So they are the ones that George has messed with.
Yeah, George. The best thing and the worst thing that ever happened to Star Wars is George Lucas.
Yeah. Or you mean the I changed something again after changing something three other times edition?
That's the guy. Yeah.
Will you leave it alone?
Yeah. At this point, he doesn't even know if Greedo shot first.
Yeah. And there's always the despecialized editions as well, isn't there? I keep meaning to try and get a copy of one of those. The
new version of Despecialized just went out a few days ago, I think.
By the way, I Googled it. So they're actually the same. You're right. It's 12 inches. Laserdisc are 12 inches, vinyl records. Well, vinyl records have different sizes, but the most common one is 12.
Yeah, the 33 and the third. Oh. Yeah.
So,
standard size.
All right.
Interesting.
Now I know. And I
knowing is half the battle.
Laserdisc days. Okay. So Ben, that takes us to you and Sony PlayStation.
Yes. I'm going to talk about something that seems like an April Fool's joke, but somehow isn't. Okay. If you have seen a picture that looks like someone photoshopped an iPad with two halves of Sony DualShock or DualSense controller photoshopped on the sides of it, it is actually real.
It looks to me like a weapon Batman would throw.
Yes. Yep. It is called the PlayStation Project Q. It's projected to be released sometime in October for the Christmas holiday. What this does is allow you to play your PS5 games anywhere in your house Unfortunately, it is not a console itself. It is a streaming device for your in-house PS5. But it uses Sony's Remote Play. But it will allow you to play your entire PlayStation library in, let's say, a place that you don't have your PlayStation.
I mean, given the name, it looks more like something James Bond would have.
Yeah.
All right.
You can make your
fair
life.
Point.
You can make
yes.
Your life.
How are remote in controls your car? Right?
Yeah.
Like, instead of having a really strange Nokia phone, just use that.
Yeah, I wonder if it does it wirelessly connect to a Aston Martin, maybe?
It probably could.
Or a Batmobile.
So now we know it's not something that Batman throws. It's the remote control for the Batmobile.
Now we know. Annoying is half the battle.
Yeah.
Yes. True.
All right. So this isn't like a Switch where it's a truly standalone device. This is an accessory for people that already have a PlayStation.
Yes.
It's an intense controller, right?
Yeah, it's basically a controller with a screen in it.
And they're not saying yet how much it costs?
Probably too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it better cost less than a Switch since it's an accessory, but it's not going to.
And it's
the display
from Sony,
looks
so
lovely,
it's expensive,
doesn't it? The display looks gorgeous because it's...
Because it's a photoshopped image.
Yeah. That too, yeah. It does look like a night, and they've kept that kind of... You can also imagine the modern one, there's a folding version. You pull the two handles out and clunk, there's the screen. Yay!
Maybe it's not even Photoshop, it's AI generated.
There we go.
They've asked Midjourney. Midjourney, make me a portable PlayStation controller.
That would actually explain some things, why it literally looks like they chopped the two sides off of a DualSense 5 and super glued a screen to them.
Oh, now we know how they created it.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
They had like screens left over. They had like the DualSense like controllers left over, and I'm like, okay, what can we build with this? Oh, let's just chop it in the middle and just glue it together like that.
It's like the Reese's peanut butter cup of PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My only question about any new handheld gaming device is, please don't put an external speaker on it. Because I don't want to sit on an airplane next to a kid who's got a handheld gaming device with a speaker.
Oh, you won't have to worry about the speaker. They'll have a headset on, and you'll be hearing that little 7-year-old swear at all his friends.
True.
Yep. Oh my God. Yep. Huh. All right. Well, I want to be excited about this, but I don't have a PlayStation. And it's an accessory.
Yeah. I mean, I would honestly, if this had been a successor to the PSP with remote play capability, I would have been a lot more
enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic. I mean, when it comes right down to it, Microsoft might have an advantage because they literally the hardware exists where they could put out an Xbox portable that will play all your Xbox games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, literally AMD created a chip specifically for that.
People would buy the crap out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, good luck with this, Sony. Yeah.
Speaking of chips.
Oh, you just totally took it. It's like you're reading my mind. Oh,
or
well
the chat.
Done, Ben. Well done. All right, so I'll come up with a riff on what you did, what I had planned on doing. Okay, speaking of chips, Tom, tell us how TSMC is going to break the laws of physics.
By selling actual potato chips.
You're making me hungry now.
Data storage Pringles.
I think the big show has become the Segway AI generation machine.
What would happen if you asked ChatGPT to come up with a series of segues in the style of Jeff Gamet?
That's a good one. Just throw ChatGPT a couple of articles and Gamet? Say,
here's the next story with no pants.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So my story is TSMC does a yearly event where they go through their roadmap and so on. And I think they did it in US probably at the end of April. And I think they're doing the EU maybe this week or last week. So they always show the roadmap, which is always fun to see, to compare rumors versus what they're actually going to say. One of the things they talked about is N2. So we know that N3 is in at least limited production or customer specific production this year for people like Apple. I think it's mostly Apple that is sucking up the N3 wafers this year. So the next node is N2, and it's targeted for probably limited production at probably towards the second half of 25, and maybe more mainstream production in 2026. So a couple of years out. But one of the big changes is N2 is going to have a new kind of transistor, a new flavor of a FET. So right now they're using FinFETs, and I think we're on probably, 6 or 7 generations of FinFETs. They've been around for about 10 years, and they provided a big boost over the previous MOSFETs. So this one's called gate all around, and basically it's the way it switches on and off is very similar, but the way it's laid out physically is better for density and power, basically power and density, and thus you can, you know, for the same same power you can get higher speeds, and for the same speed you can get lower power. So the fact that they came out and say that N2 is on track is the words they use in their slide that's shown in the article I linked to. That means it's in pretty good shape. So that's good news, because you'll see in some of the tables in the article, you know, you don't get 10x improvements with these kind of updates, but you get on the order of 10, 20, 30% improvements in power, speed, and capacity. So that's good news.
What's really interesting when I looked at the table is how regular it is. Like it's about 15% more performance, about 25, 30% less power. And like the size, the density increases about 15%. So it's really like how... Mm-hmm. Like for something this crazy, how regular it actually is. I mean, the time frame switches around a little bit, like how long it takes them to get to that point. But it seems that I think there's a plan behind that to say, okay, this is kind of what we want to hit. And they seem to do it so far.
Yep.
So quite interesting. And this the whole topic of backside power is like really sounds really crazy.
Yeah. So so I was going to bring that up because it's a little bit esoteric, but it's actually extremely important. So backside power delivery means the way the metal is laid out to deliver power to all the billions of transistors on a die, instead of being on top where all the signals are also routed, they're going to do it on the backside. So it basically increases the density for the signal routing. Now you don't have to allocate that space for power, and power routing takes up a lot of space. So the fact that they can do it in a 3D way from the other side is a big deal. It's kind of a trick to manufacture that. But, you know, I know for both the gate all around and the backside power delivery, you know, TSMC has been working on it, you know, for at least 10 years. Yep. And then the other good news is, I'm not sure it was in this article or maybe a different one. They've also been, TSMC is also making progress on the generation, the new transistor for after this one, after mm-hmm. gate all around. So
is that the Boba Fett?
That's the Boba Fett. The Boba Fett. it's a lot like tapioca pudding, but
it's the subspace. What was it again? Subspace time.
Subspace transwarp conduit.
No, time. It was something right. with time.
Right.
It does temporal utilize conduit. Time. Yeah. Warping.
Temporal conduit. Yeah,
temporal subspace temporal conduit. That's the next generation.
So you can process the data before you have it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's what we want.
Yeah, we used to call when you were trying to increase the speed of basic gates, NAND gate, you know, how can we make this even faster? And somebody came up with an article on April 1st called the anticipatory NAND gate.
Oh, that's funny.
That would do the logic before the signals arrived at the gate. Yeah, it was, I mean, the speed was negative.
To some extent, that's what modern CPUs are doing. They're trying to guess what the next operation will be before it actually gets it. So there is some of that. Ahead. I mean, exactly. Look ahead. Yeah. Some of that is in there, but
not
exactly the same.
I don't know if I've ever told the story on here, but when I was actually doing CPU design 30 years ago, the logic I hated to debug the most was the look ahead, the branch prediction. Mm-hmm. It was so hard. The logic was so crazy. And if anything went wrong, it took days and hours to debug it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, any developer will tell you that. Like anything that has to do with predicting time or anything with time really is really, really difficult.
Yeah, because branch prediction is great when you mm-hmm. predict correctly. When you predict incorrectly, then you have to unwind everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's pretty cool. The fact that TSMC publicly stated that 2-nanometer with the gate all around is on track is good news for all of us. And the fact that they're even talking about CFET, which is the next generation, which is basically stacking transistors vertically, which will have a pretty big density improvement, means that they're making progress. That's still a few years out.
Yeah. But Tom, I do have to say, when I picture backside power delivery, for a second here, I thought Taco Bell had come
I'm thinking Blazing Saddles and Beans.
Yeah, there you go.
Beans and Blazing Saddles. It's really all I can think of.
Sitting around the campfire.
Absolutely.
A way to reclaim emissions from Taco Bell.
So basically, we're all 12-year-olds.
Oh
yeah.
Yes. methane gas powered transistors is what it, that's exactly
yes,
what
I yes. remain 12 as I tell my wife regularly. When I snicker at something that I shouldn't, I remain 12.
I'm very interested. I'm very interested in what TSMC will do after this. I mean, if they deliver this in, like, let's say late 2025, like what's predicted, what's mm-hmm. the, let's say, 2027 or 2029? Like, what crazy thing can they do? Like, I mean, if we go this way, then in 2029, we'll be at 0 nanometers, right?
Well, I think the thing that they hinted at is people are working on, you remember when NAND went 3 dimensions? Mm-hmm. So you have a silicon wafer, and it's physical in 3 dimensions, but there's only one transistor in every layer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take multiple wafers and kind of glue them together, but that's sort of brute force. And with 3D NAND, they actually grow in three dimensions and have multiple layers of the NAND devices.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we've seen such a huge explosion in NAND capacity over the last 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
To do that with logic is harder, but people are working on it. So I would suspect it's probably more like 10 years, we'll be talking about logic devices where on a single wafer you have, you know, 4, 8, 16, 24 layers of devices. Mm-hmm. So the density will go way up.
Yeah. So we will not talk as much about nanometers anymore, but about layers or like something like
that. That's right. That's right. I mean, even now, they call it N2. They don't call it 2-nanometer anymore because there's no relationship between the node name and any dimensions anymore.
That makes sense. Well, and don't we hit a point where for nanometers we hit a wall for physics?
Yeah. So we're the 2 nanometers pretty much there, that dimension. That's why Intel talks about angstroms now, which again is just kind of PR BS, but
well, you know, they have to sell something. So
when I started working in semiconductors, microns were the big things. Wow, we're at, you know, 2 micron.
Mm-hmm.
And we all thought that there was a physical wall at 1 micron. Oh, how are we going to get below 1 micron?
Yeah, at some point we will have to think about how many Planck lengths then we have.
Right. Oh my God! Yeah, right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's like 2 Planck lengths. Wow.
And speaking of when Intel, they don't have to worry. They'll reach 2 nanometer around 2057.
Yeah, the way things are going.
Is that before or after World War III and we go like we invent warp?
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be dealing with first contact with the Vulcans, and in some room somewhere Intel will be going, we did it. We have a prototype for 3 nanometer.
Yes, we finally have what we promised in 2015.
Let's let Intel just show some good yield at 7 nanometer. Then we can start talking about the
right.
Rest.
Right.
We're still buying most of their advanced chips from TSMC.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Speaking of advanced, we have an awesome host. Or wait, not host. What's host, the right
we
word?
Also have an awesome sponsor. Host.
Oh, yeah, we have
sponsor.
A great
sponsor. Our hosting company.
Yes, we have an awesome sponsoring company. We are here because of TSO Host. See, that's where Host comes in. So everyone's been in the chat room saying, look at this, we're staying on the rails. And all of it goes off the rails right here because I can't speak. English apparently is really difficult today, and my sentences are coming out in a nonlinear form, but that's okay, because even with technical issues like that, TSO Host still has our stream going out live and smooth, so you can watch me screw up in real time without dropping any frames, because they're just that awesome. So why am I bringing this up? Because we wouldn't be able to do what we do without TSO Host's help. They are giving us the bandwidth we need to live stream. They're giving us the hosting space we need so that there's a place for the website, so that there's a place for all of the recording files to live, so you can watch or listen to me screwing up sentences at your leisure as often as you want. And to do that, it takes a lot of resources that go beyond what we would be able to manage on our own. And so they just stepped up and said, well, here, we've got your back. And it's awesome because we don't have problems with the live streams. We don't have problems with the website. And everything just works. So we really appreciate that they are here for us so that we can be here for you. And what we can do to show our appreciation, super easy, clearly even easier than me trying to form complete sentences, is hop on your favorite social media network and thank TSO Hosts for being here and supporting us. Simple as that. Easier than me completing a sentence. Now, you may have a really fantastic idea for a domain name and a website, and you're thinking, holy crap, I need to make this happen. Well, TSO Host is here for that too. What you do is just go in and get your domain name, add it to your cart, and get your hosting package in your cart, and then add the discount code BTN20. And when you do that, you're going to get 20% off your order simply because you're part of the BTN family. So not only are they incredibly generous by helping us be here for you, they're being incredibly generous by offering you a sweet deal as well. So thank you, TSO Host, for being here. And now here's where we start to appear professional again, because this is a part where I say, Patrice, would you please tell people where to find the chat?
I should unmute myself. Of course, yes, I would love to. I was looking for a cool thing. I'm sorry. Yeah, the chat, very easy. We have a live chat. So if you are listening to this or watching this live right now, it's very easy. Head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com and you're in. Like, it's as easy as that. And then you can talk to us live. You can like see all the links to the articles that we're posting. You can see links to the cool things that are coming up, all of the above. It's very cool. And you can do that, like if you're not listening right now, but you want to do that in the future, for example, you're like, oh, this sounds like a cool idea. You can do that. We record every Thursday, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. And also Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. So whatever that is in your time zone, you have to figure out yourself. But yeah, it's as easy as that. Sometimes the show times change. So keep an eye out on our social medias or on the website for any announcements, but usually we're here. And yeah, so that's how easy that is with live chat. But let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form using your subspace temporal
transwarp conduit,
whatever. No, if you don't have that, then you, like in your podcast player of choice or like on a website or like the many other places you can find this awesome content, then, I mean, you can't do the live chat because you don't have such a temporal conduit, but you can at least still see what was talked about. You can see all the links, you can click on them. And I think that's also pretty awesome. And in order to do that, you have to head over to, like in your browser, head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there is a calendar that pops up and you have to select a date. And that date that you select is the recording date of this show, which is the 25th of May, 2023. 25th of May, 2023. If you do that, you will see everything that we talked about today. By the way, you can put in any other date and you will get others. Usually Thursday or Friday would be good. And you will see what we talked about on that show. So that's how cool it is.
Awesome. Thank you, Patrice. I feel so much better knowing that that you take care of that, because I mean, just, you know, anyhow. So now it's time for cool things, and it looks like Ben totally beat everyone in by having a
he
cool
put it
thing.
In before.
He was trying.
Count? He was cheating.
Cheating.
No, go for it, Ben.
It's not cheating. I used the force.
or you used your temporal subspace conduit, right?
That's right.
Yeah, his predictive logic gates.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Yes. Yep, so Padawans. Just a few weeks ago, Jedi Survivor, the much-awaited sequel to Jedi Fallen Order, came out, and it is excellent. Like the predecessor, the main story is a canon Star Wars story set in the current canon, which, you know what I mean. It's
set in the current canon? Like canon?
Can.
What Ben is trying to say God, is this is real Star Wars. Right, it's just a video game version of real Star Wars.
Yes. It is a real Star Wars story set in a video game. So you get to learn where Cal Kestis and his team goes next. You learn a lot about Star Wars history through characters. You meet a lot of cool new species. You get to explore a little. Yeah, actually, you get to explore a lot. And one other thing that makes this one different, they have actually integrated the dark side in a way that in a way that's kind of what Yoda's interpretation of it is. I mean, you can do, it's just easier to use the dark side. It's a cheat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true.
And I mean, it's ever learning the story of this, I can't wait to the third game in the series. This, through all those other games, and I hope they recanonize Dark Forces, this is the best Star Wars video game series I have ever seen.
Ben, this will probably put a smile on your face. There's my BD-1 hiding behind the bamboo.
Yes.
Lego makes an awesome BD-1.
Which I'm also glad we got to see another BD series droid in live action during The Mandalorian.
I agree. That was fun. Yep. Cool. All right, so how much does Jedi Survivor cost? I actually haven't looked.
I have Steam open. Let me find out. Just one.
Like 20,000 credits.
Yes.
20,000 Imperial credits.
Yeah, yes. That's what I meant.
Or New Republic credits or Mon Calamari credits. You know.
I want to pay in spice.
You can do that too.
Better than paying in life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Steam, it is $69.99. I wouldn't be surprised if that's another PC stores as well as the consoles.
I bet it's the same everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just exchange your unit of currency for a dollar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The force of capitalism.
Yep. Cool. All right. So I believe it's your turn, Patrice.
Yeah, my cool thing is it's technology in the wider sense, because it is a device for your, well, mostly probably for your balcony or your apartment or something. It is the Gardena Aqua Bloom, which is something like you would think, wow, like that's like I would have never thought that someone would pick like a gardening based like technology cool thing on Big Show, but this is it. There is actually some technology in it. So I have on my balcony, I've used this for a year. So I have on my like teeny tiny balcony. I had last year about, I don't know, 60 centimeter by 30 centimeter boxes, whatever that is. I would have to do the math in inches. I could think it's like a foot by 2 feet or something. Should be about, 30 centimeter. Yeah, should be about a foot to 2 feet, like boxes, where I'm growing vegetables on my balcony. And I needed some way to water them so I don't have to do it every day because, well, I'm gone sometimes, like on business trips or... Well, I'm lazy or I forget or all of that. So, and like plants usually don't, especially vegetables, don't like it very much if there is no water, especially in the summer when it's hot. And I looked for it and I found this. And it's basically the main device is like a little solar powered, it's basically a pump. It has some technology in it. So it will, like you put it outside, it has like a solar array on top and a little dial we can select. Like out of a bunch of programs, like, I don't know, you want to water it like for whatever, 15 minutes every 12 hours or like, I don't know, 20 minutes every 48 hours or whatever. Like there's a couple of programs. It's not super flexible, but it's good enough. And it figures out like what the time of the day is and so on. Like it just needs a day to get its bearings. And then it will water like on that schedule. And it seems to detect if it's raining, for example, which what I found quite interesting. I didn't expect that. I thought it would just be dumb and just water even if it's raining. No, it actually does recognize if it's raining and then doesn't do it.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool. And yeah, I mean, this is like, because I don't have any hose or anything outside. There's no, like, my apartment simply doesn't have it. This was the easiest way. There's like one, and then you have like it's a drip irrigation system. So you have like one line that goes into some kind of water tank. I bought like a big bucket basically, and dumped a bunch of water in that. And then you have the line that you can connect the little drip thingies. It's like I think 20 of them that you get. And yeah, you can basically lay them out however long you want. There's like tubing that you can cut up, and there's like T connectors, so you can also like split up things, and it's quite flexible for what it is. Sure, it's not the professional system in that sense, like that you would have in your garden if you have one or whatever. But for like a little balcony, or like as I said, like you're even at home, I could see it like even inside, because why not? Like you could like water your plants with that. Like on your window or something. It's quite nice. It's not loud. Like it's also like there's a little pump in there and you can hear it, but it's very, very silent. So it's not super powerful, but
do you have to put it out in the sunlight to recharge it, or is it sort of indirect light?
Indirectly is good enough. Like it's good enough for that. It doesn't need a lot of power. And it basically has, even if you have it like me on a like 20 minutes every 12 hour schedule, which is the maximum it can do, it doesn't need a lot of power.
Mm.
So it has basically all day to charge, and
Pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty nice. As I said, it's 100 in the US. I checked it on Amazon, it's $180. I think it was about the same here in euros, so probably also in pounds, about the same. Yeah, so not very exactly cool. Cheap, but really cool.
But for what it does, super useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm very happy with it. It gets the job done. The hardest part is figuring out where to put what, like, because you have, it is limited in a sense that it only supports, I think, 20 of those little drip thingies. That's the maximum. So you have to figure out, okay, how many do I need per plant or per box and stuff like that. Yeah. But I mean, if I needed more, I just buy a second one and put it in the same tank and just do the other part. So, but it's good enough. I have 6 boxes now, so I doubled the size, and it's enough for that.
Nice. Cool. All right. So after I move into my new place, this may be something I need to look at. So
for sure.
I will tag that. Cool. All right, Tom. Looks like you are next, and apparently you're keeping with the water theme.
I am. This is a perfect segue from Patrice's story. my cool thing is a new 3D model of the Titanic shipwreck. I think this came out a week or two ago. Mm-hmm. There's a company called, I think it's Magellan, that use some remote control submersibles to take a whole bunch of images of the wreckage of the Titanic. And I think they took 700,000 images and they spent 200 hours surveying the area and taking all these pictures. Mm-hmm. Then they took all these 2D images and made a bunch of 3D images of the shipwreck. And if you're like me, you've seen all the usual pictures from submersibles of the Titanic, and you kind of see this little picture and this little picture and this little picture in sort of murky water and things. And so when I saw this 3D model, it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
It was just so cool how precise everything is. And I'm sure they're using a lot of processing of these images to build this, but it's pretty friggin' cool.
Yeah, it's super cool.
And I'll give you guys an intel inside baseball on what this works. Okay, because Titanic is about 2 miles down, the aperture that the camera can see out of is super small.
Right.
So they have to take a billion pictures, little pictures. Then they use machine learning to kind of stitch them all back together into a 3D image.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, this concept isn't exactly new. We have seen these composite images before, but this technology is just so far better than the last ones and more accurate that you get basically a photorealistic 3D image.
Yeah, they've right. I mean, they've done it on land, on a bunch of like landmarks, like old, like whatever, like the Acropolis, for example, in Greece and so on. Like they've done this, like for very, very big and very old buildings and things. But on land, land is much easier because like you can just, like it's in air, you can just walk around it. But underwater, that gets really, really, really difficult. And this was impressive when I saw that. And the level of detail, I mean, you can still see like the engraving on the like propellers and stuff. But the reason they're doing that is very simple. The Titanic will very soon, like whatever that might mean, like a couple of years maybe, disappear. Because it is getting eaten basically by the ocean, which makes sense. That's how
The iron's turning back, going back to its original form, isn't it?
which, by the way, speaking of the propellers, they completely shot down the Olympic Titanic name swap theory.
Oh, good.
Because Titanic's yard number was very clearly on the propeller.
So, I like that story because it kind of was interesting and was relatively plausible. But sadly, no, it's complete trash, isn't it?
Yeah. Because, I mean, they have consecutive yard numbers. Like Olympic, I think, was with Harlan and Wolf yard number 400. Titanic was 401. Well, the propellers that are exposed definitely say 401.
Yeah. So that's that. That's that. And that's at last modern technology again answers a question.
Yes.
Is this bollocks? Yes.
The other part that I liked about this is they said the next shipwreck they're going to do is the Poseidon. It's been, the one from 1974.
Yeah, I was waiting.
That's a joke.
I didn't know if you were going to say, but they have to flip all the cameras upside down.
That's right.
And then shake the set madly.
They're looking for Leslie Nielsen.
Yes, I was going to say, which one of the three Poseidons are they going to do? The original, the second Poseidon Adventure, or Poseidon with Kurt Russell?
Really? I guess I didn't realize they did remakes of that movie.
There's a remake with Steve Guttenberg.
Really?
It was also called the Poseidon Adventure. Yeah. And then they did the big budget remake of which was Poseidon.
I can tell you one ship they will never do. That's the SeaQuest. Because it's camouflaged, so you can see it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yep.
That and SeaQuest is too big.
That's true.
Yeah, plus maybe first.
Can't they use different wavelength of light to see it somehow?
Yeah, probably.
Well, that in the first SeaQuest, like that detonated like 18 ICBMs with itself. So there's not going to be much left.
Probably not. Yeah. Ian, your turn.
My turn. Dead simple thing that I needed to do this week, and I didn't have anything set up to do it. And the Windows built-in one's rubbish. So I'm looking for a DNLA server. So if you're not familiar with that, it's the thing that basically lets you cast video from one source to another. So you can play back on France's most modern TVs, read DNLA sources. There were some videos I wanted to watch on my TV rather than on a computer. So because I'd ripped a couple of some random old videos and I went DVDs and I would have a look at them. So dead simple, write that bit of software on, point it at the folder where they exist, and it works perfectly. Great little tool, bit of open source free software, recommended.
There's available a ton of
platforms. It's one of many.
Yeah, I mean, Plex is the most well-known one.
Plex is the most well-known.
NB or Jellyfin is another one. Universal Media Server is the third.
There's millions.
The only thing I can tell you, be careful with DNLA. You do not want to expose that to the internet.
No, this is literally on my network.
Yeah, Yeah, I'll just make sure that your router doesn't rebroadcast it.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I had Plex for a while, but no, I don't need anything like that. I just need something that works internally that I can share with a folder full of videos and possibly going to trash them. But until I've had a chance to have a proper look through them, I want to be able to sort of sit on the TV in comfort. And
so you don't have to open any. You don't have to open any ports on your router for this to work.
No, okay. Not internally. If you're not sharing it outside of your network, no. Because it's free. Yeah, it's just be going from one of my. It's sharing from essentially one of my servers in the house to the wider network. And if you've got a DNLA sort of reader, you can see it, but it won't. It doesn't share outside of it.
Sharing from one of your servers in your house. How many do you have in your house?
Two.
Really?
I did used to have four. I did used to have four before the electricity bill got too much for my wife. I don't need them anymore, but I've got the two ones. One does backups and holds my holds a bit of data and stuff that are useful for us all to have around here. And there's another one which is a backup of that and an old archive of MP3s and Christ knows what. So, but yeah.
Maybe you can contract. You can contract out to Google and store some YouTube videos.
I'll hold some YouTube.
Right. And then use the solar powered water pump that Patrice found to cool your servers.
Yeah. I need solar powered batteries to run my servers. That'd be ideal.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah,
it's not impossible.
All right. Yeah. Well,
only if you want to run a server as big as Atlas, then.
What is up with that?
Like, there's a reason why the server on
and Toronto went dark.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we need to get him back on to tell us about that in person. Oh, yeah.
We should
get him back on.
I know he's been like really busy with stuff, so hopefully he'll have a window where he can join us soon.
Yeah, because that'd be an interesting sort of thing for how to build a large scale computing node. Mm-hmm. What he's got there of many, many CPUs.
Yep. All right. I guess that means it's my turn now. Mm-hmm. And
what Lego do you get?
Legos.
Yeah. Lego.
No, I didn't go with Lego today.
That's appropriate. That's completely appropriate. Ooh.
I went with Towel Day. And yeah. I'm picking the box set of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series.
That's the books. Entirely reasonable thing.
Very I was about to say there's a box set of towels.
There probably also is a box set of soft towels. The box is a little bit bigger, but yeah.
Yeah.
And you get the wonderful audio. From the old BBC radio shows. In the States,
I don't think so. No, but I mean, you can get a really nice Audible book series. Like, it's really nice, like, how it's, like, made and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I have it. It's really good.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Anyhow, so what else can I say? Just an incredible series. Today is Towel Day, so Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy box set.
Very nice.
And $25 on Amazon.
That's actually a steal for that many books.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good deal, and it's relatively timeless as well in terms of storytelling. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
relatively timeless.
Yeah, it's so crazy and fantastical that it's like
Once you're off the Earth, it's no longer anymore.
Yeah.
It's no longer anymore a concern that your books are written.
And I can tell you one thing. The Hitchhiker's Guide is, in my opinion, the least interesting book that most people know of. Like, the other books are so much more fun and so much more interesting, but most people only remember The Hitchhiker's Guide. And it only, it's the beginning. Like,
it's just the beginning.
Yeah.
I love the entire series.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I give it two. Those. I give it two depressed robots up.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep. Rim shot.
Yep. All right.
Brain well, the size of a planet.
Mm-hmm. speaking of brains the size of planets, Ben, where can people find you?
You can find me at my on social media at Ben Rathig. Since people were asking about which instance I was on the last show, it is Patrice's instant techhangout.social. That's at Ben Rathig at techhangout.social. You can also find me on the rest of the social media for Blue Sky. Apparently, I'm not enough of an influencer to get in.
I'm not in either.
Yeah, the cool people are not on Blue Sky. That's what it is.
Yeah.
According to Christina, we're not cool enough.
What does she
yeah, mean? Well, or maybe we're too good for Blue Sky.
We're too cool. Yeah, we're too cool.
We're the kind of people that would be on Blue Sky and immediately be able to see right through the facade and call it out for whatever it may be. And then everyone would be like, thanks, this is why we can't have nice things.
Yes. Or pants.
Or pants. Yep.
Mostly pants.
Mostly pants.
Yep. You can also find me my website, Rathig.tech, on this little show called Mac Voices Tuesday nights, In Touch with iOS. Normally on Thursday nights, but this week we have an extra special guest who shall remain nameless in the down in the corner. Yep. You can also find me here today on the Big Show on Thursdays and Fridays on the Mac Show.
Awesome. All right. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me every week here on the Big Show and also on the Mac Show on Fridays if you're into the Apple side of things. And remember, WWDC is coming up, and next week there will be a keynote poker again. So that's coming up. Everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, literally everything I do, you can find on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you are into like Mastodon, or you're like, oh, I always wanted to join that and I don't know where, head over to techhangout.social. Send me a message somewhere, like on BTN or email or whatever. I have a contact form on my website. And I'll send you an invite to my, or you can just sign up on techhangout.social and I'll approve you. But drop me a message and I'll do that. So, good at.
Awesome.
Nice little instance, like, few people and it's quiet and nice and everybody is just awesome.
That's what I mean.
You're awesome too, Ben.
I'm looking forward to keynote poker. I always have a very good time with that. And and I'm pretty consistent, I think, with my scoring.
Without knowing anything.
Yes. Yes, I can
see. Isn't that sometimes a benefit, though? If you don't know anything, it's easier.
Yeah, I think that's we're all pretty consistent with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on Mastodon. I am TomF at sfba.social.
Awesome. All right, Ian, you're up. Where can people find you?
People can find me here on the Big Show on a Thursday or otherwise on LinkedIn. I'm Ian Grant. You'll find me there around Veeam sort of stuff. That's me.
Awesome.
You're Veeaming around?
Is that what yes.
You yes.
Veeam, I always Veeam everywhere.
It saves so much time.
I Veeam and I Veeam.
Veeam me down.
Yep, and Sir
did,
Jeffrey.
Did he say Veeam me up, Scotty?
Veeam me up, Scotty.
Yes. And yes. Sir Jeffrey of Gamut, where can we find you?
Well, Squire, you can find me on the various socials. I am Jay Gamut. I am most active. Well, the only places I'm actually active, really, I guess, are Mastodon and Instagram. And then shows. Chuck Joyner keeps letting me back on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. And then here I am hanging out with all of you on Thursdays and then back again with all of you on Fridays. So that's the Big Show and the Mac Show. And then Dave Ginsberg keeps letting me on In Touch with iOS, which is recording tomorrow instead of today, just like Ben said. And then Brian Chaffin and I record The Context Machine, and that'll end up happening on Friday as well. Did I get everything?
I got five.
All right, that's good enough for now.
You need more shows, well, Jeff.
Yeah, it's there could be more. There probably is more. Yes. Nonetheless, thank you to all of you beautiful people that are all too hot for your shirts, too sexy for your shirts, for being here today and just making me smile. All of you absolutely rock. Everyone that's watching or listening live, participating in the chat room, thank you for being here and being part of the show as well. You all rock. And everyone that watches or listens later, thank you for being part of the BTN family. So glad you were here, even though you were temporarily displaced. And and then Ewan, thank you for being you. And yeah. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. Hope you're feeling better soon. Tioso Host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love, please. Don't forget their discount code, BTN20. And okay, join us tomorrow, that would be Friday, for the Mac Show, and then join us again next Thursday for the Big Show, and then again on Friday for the Mac Show, where, as Patrice said, it will be Keynote Poker Day for Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference keynote event. So everyone, have an awesome weekend, and we'll see you later.
So long, and thanks for all the fish.